Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 631, fifth anniversary episode.
Is this it?
Is this it? But it was brought to us by a couple sponsors, Jonah Ray.
Oh, I'd love to hear what they are, Chris.
What are you looking at?
No, I just, like, I felt wetness on my legs. And then I felt them and smelled them.
What did you step in?
No, it was like on my jeans. I think it was the I wasn't sure if it was pee or the faucet in the water.
Why would there be pee wetness on your legs?
I don't know, because I was peeing at a urinal, and I don't know if there was splashback.
There would have to be a tremendous amount of splashback for your jeans to feel wet. That sounds like you just peed directly onto your leg.
But I didn't. That's why I was confused.
Are you sure?
That's why I had to check.
And what did you determine?
That it was not pee, because it doesn't smell like pee.
Okay, not yet.
Yeah, but I mean, it would happen. It's fresh.
Yeah. Yo, that pee is fresh.
Yeah.
Hey, no pussy talking Jonah for the fifth anniversary.
Or Bruce Gutter.
No, what happened?
I don't know. It's just, I was a bit uncomfortable, you know, sitting eye to eye with the with people. You know, I get uncomfortable.
Like, really? Still?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I know I should get over it, but that one time in Portland, just that's how I... think everyone's gonna end up responding to me
by telling you they hate you.
Yeah. It's like
one guy in Portland. Like,
there's one girl. It was one girl in Portland 4 years ago, and it, like, yeah, for some reason, it just kind of, like, it just damaged me in the way where it's like I kind of get mild panic attacks when we do live shows.
Well, you were really funny on this one.
Thanks.
This was a last minute thing that we decided to do. Was just basically have a fifth anniversary show at Meltdown. We thought like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks before, and then
a
bunch of people showed up, and it was I mean, we are, you know, it is sort of like it is kind of a fun spiritual circle jerk about, like, remember when. But it's so amazing and incredible for me to sit there with you guys, to know that we have been doing this for 5 years, that we've had all these amazing experiences, and we're still doing it, and it's still fun. And
it's more fun than it ever has been before. It's just a good relationship. It just kind of continues to, like, we find new ways to make each other laugh.
Well, because at this point, we're not sitting around going, what are we going to talk about? It's just like, oh, we just talk.
And, like, it's always great to be surprised by your friends making you laugh as hard as they do. You know, it's a joy.
So it was technically a hostful, but it was kind of a hostful plus, because we had Katie came out and talked for a bit. Kyle came out and talked for a bit.
Your mom?
My mom came out and talked for a bit.
Yeah.
And
it was great. A lot of awesome diehard fans there. A lot of people just packed it in. Everyone was incredibly sweet. I got this amazing gift from a girl who put on a high school play version of Night of Living Dead.
Yes. That's all in there.
Yeah, it's all in there.
So we'll stop doing the pre-roll hostful and then get to the actual fifth anniversary show. And, you know, as I said on the podcast when we were doing it live, I cannot thank you enough for listening and sharing this with your friends and sharing your stories about, you know, how the podcast has affected your life in various ways, mostly positive. And it because it is still as amazing for us to do it, and still freaky that people that we can do it and people know what it is and that they want to be on it and that people in the street know it. And, you know, it's it really this thing changed my entire life.
Changed
and
all of
our lives. Yeah. And we couldn't have done that without you guys listening. So thank you so much. Anniversary show episode number, because we never did a special thing for the anniversary. So
we
had to do this for number 5, and I'm glad we did.
Me too.
Episode number 631, and we took some video, and we'll be posting that at Nerdist.com. If it's not up already, then it'll be up very soon.
Cool.
All right, Katie, roll the thing. Matt, we didn't know about that video. That was a complete surprise.
It was.
That actually was a complete surprise. Thank you so much, Phil and Ash and Deb and everyone who contributed to that.
And Jesus, Brian. Thank Jesus.
Yep.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank Jesus.
We'll thank the Lord for his
contribution. It's been a great 5 years.
So
we're
going
to take
it
in a different direction from 5 to 10. It's all going to be about the Lord.
We tricked you guys.
We're just here to preach.
Yeah. Have you heard the good word?
This is better than church. It only costs $5.
You're all sinners and you're going to hell unless you do exactly what we say. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. That's how it works. Ass to mouth.
Whoa.
So soon in the beginning. Usually we edit that out. Now everyone knows that's the first thing you say.
Oh my God, I just realized. Guys, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So the podcast started 5 years ago, Super Bowl Sunday, 2010. Really quickly, the story goes that I
was pregnant.
I was pregnant, and I
pregnant.
Yeah.
I wish I had water in my mouth.
I didn't want to keep it, so
abortion.
I just love that you said abortion. Yeah.
That's how the kids
the
are referring
was
to
the
it.
A. Yeah.
Abortion.
Hashtag abortion.
Oh man, I gotta go get a straight aborted again.
Straight up abortion.
If you want to see Fox bring back Borshin, hashtag X-Files.
I love Frank Borshin in the original Batman. Yeah. All right, so 5 years ago, I had been thinking for about a year I wanted to do a podcast. I had sort of, you know, I had talked to Marin about it a little bit. I had talked to Pardo. I had talked to Doug, and it just felt like something I wanted to do. But I had a background in radio, so I thought, well, the show's got to be super produced. And then I went and did Carolla's podcast like the week that he got fired from radio and started a podcast. I was like, oh yeah, you could just talk to people the way that comics talk backstage. At the same time, I was up for a job. The job I thought was going to sort of change my life and make more people come out to see me live, which was always my ultimate goal. And it was a show on E! The show got canned and before we even made it to air, and I'm glad it did. And I was so angry that the show didn't go, and like, fuck it, I'm going to start a podcast and it'll just be mine and no one can do anything about it. Because, you know, this business, there's just you have no control. And so I thought, well, I can control a podcast. I can make that myself. So I called Jonah, who I had been friends with. I met Jonah in the Southern California open mic circuit when he was 19 years old and I was still drunk Peter Hardwick. I used to make Jonah drive me to Jack in the Box at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
If you want a spot, you better jack this box.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, who wants to drive the singled out guy for snacks?
Yeah.
And of course, Jonah was from Hawaii, so he was like, yeah, bruh, or whatever you guys say.
Yeah. You're my ohana. It's what we do.
In Hawaii, it's called Kalani in the Box, right? It's a totally different.
No, it's not. It's still called Jack in the Box, Chris.
It's not.
Part of the United States.
You don't have enough letters in your alphabet to be calling it
that. We have enough.
No, you don't. And so Matt Myra had been producing the Comedy and Everything Else podcast with Jimmy Dore and Todd Glass. And then I had met him at the Apple store. He was working on the floor of the Apple store.
Sure was.
You know, he was a frequenter of the UCB of Comedy Death Ray, and when it was still called Death Ray. Mm-hmm. And so we talked, and I went back in periodically, and then Matt started doing that podcast with Jimmy and Todd. And so I called Jonah and said, hey, do you want to do a podcast?
I said, what's a podcast?
Yep.
I had no idea.
Did
what
you really?
No, I thought, well, like the Ricky Gervais show?
Yeah.
That was the only thing I knew about a podcast.
That's the fucking one. That's the one.
Yeah. And so I called him on a Thursday. I found out I didn't get this show like on a Saturday. On a Thursday, I called Jonah, and then
also
I
keep in mind I was writing on that show, so I also didn't get a job.
Oh right, that was the Daily 10 reboot. Yeah, so we were both in a bad situation,
and I was just working at the Apple Store.
Right,
so I was in a great situation. Yeah.
So then I called Matt, and I was like, "Do you want to produce this show? Like, will you come on from comedy and everything else?" And he was like, "Yeah, I think I'd probably do that." And
it's a really good me.
Actually, that sounds like Matt's impression of you.
Yes, it does. That's exactly what that sounds like.
I can do that. I think we're gonna do that. I think we're gonna do that. I think we're gonna do that. It's time for a midnight. So what ended up happening was Matt was initially gonna produce the show. But then I just became such a control freak about it that I just ended up doing it for the first handful.
And Matt's stars shone too bright.
Yep. You cannot contain a nuclear reaction like this.
No.
Unless you reroute main power through the secondary.
No! Stop it! So I called Matt and Jonah on Thursday. I called up Tom Lennon and said, "Do you want to be on our first podcast?" And he said, "Sure, I don't give a shit about football either." So we went to Tom's house, Super Bowl Sunday, 2010, recorded our first podcast. We just had a conversation, posted it the next day on Monday, recorded it on Sunday.
I don't think Jonah's mic was really on in that first episode.
Well, I went out and bought a bunch of equipment and tried to
make
it.
That ended up getting stolen out of my Honda Civic.
Yes.
If you're here, keep it.
Yeah. If you're here, way to go with the long con.
Here, I thought it'd be funny. You can have it back now.
Wow.
Marin! I never thought it would last.
I can buy my own microphones, all that stamps money.
Yeah, tell Myra thanks for constantly giving my WTF call sign in the intros. So, that was it. And when we started the podcast, I said to the guys, like, we have to make a deal with the listening audience that we will always post a podcast every week. That's the deal. You guys show up, we'll have content there every week. 1 year turned into 2 years, which turned into two podcasts a week. 3 years turned into three podcasts a week.
And six podcasts a week.
and five years later, the thing that was really just for us to have fun and maybe get some more people out to live shows has become the most significant thing I've ever done in my life. The most special thing. We've gotten to talk to the most incredible people. I mean, like, we text each other all the time after podcasts and like, how the fuck is this happening? And also has, you know, brought all you guys here and been the cornerstone of Nerdist Industries, basically. So thank you so much for showing up tonight and for allowing us to enjoy your burrito. And then we leave. What do you think has in the beginning, I feel like we've all kind of grown as, because the show's not really an interview.
I shrank.
Joan and I are a lot closer to the middle of these chairs than we would have been 5 years ago. But, you know, we used to interrupt each other a lot in the beginning.
We never did that.
No, yeah, we did sometimes.
I don't think so.
I certainly never did.
Yeah, you never, but you did. And then you, like, started.
I want to get my joke in.
Dave Matthews! honestly, for the first year, I was writing in the description, you know, the guest says something, I say something, Jonah says something, and Matt still loves the Dave Matthews Band. That was...
But you would always write, and somehow Matt still likes Dave Matthews Band. Which I feel like is why we've never been able to book Dave Matthews on the podcast.
And everyone put that on me. They think I'm the one that hates Dave Matthews because I'm the fucking hipster of the group.
Right.
And they're like, "Yo, you hate Dave Matthews." I was like, "That's Chris." They're like, "Chris would never say anything mean."
Yeah, they're right. I know. The funny thing is, of the three of us, Jonah is actually the sweetest one. And so we would go do live shows and people would be like, fuck Jonah, team Matt. And Jonah's like,
I'm a human being.
Because, you know, for the first couple years, Jonah was like comedy grumpy on the show, but in real life, he was always the sweetest one. So it was always reversed. And now,
that's why I'm having a hard time making eye contact with everyone here.
It's so weird. Look up.
I can't. I'll look at my friends from the Meltdown show. Hey guys, thanks for sitting up front.
So what has changed for you in the last 5 years, J. Ray?
So much more pussy.
Yeah. Sorry, D. Yeah.
No. I've learned a lot through just doing this podcast. It's like it's like a front row seat to seeing one of your best friends interview some of the most inspiring people like in entertainment, and it's been like really awesome. It's just like having like going to college and you're the only student, and then Matt is there too. Matt's the one leaning in, going, "I already knew that." You know, shut up! I'm taking notes. It's been really great to not only like become better friends with you guys through doing it, but also just to see Chris really blossom from just like a rich guy to a really rich guy.
That's been almost super rich. You're getting there.
I've enjoyed that part of the process as well.
No, but it's the fact that you still bring us along, even though you don't necessarily need to. It's really awesome that like
I don't like doing the show without you guys. And what you know, unfortunately, fortunately, the good news, bad news is we've all gotten.
Which one's good news? Which one's bad news?
You decide. But you know, I would love to have everyone there at every podcast. But the good news for everyone is that everyone's working more, and you know. Jonah's working on a ton of stuff, and Matt's writing on At Midnight. He's doing 9 other podcasts, and so
I can't stop. Let's addicted. Talk about James Bond, guys.
Actually, Matt, this is your intervention. Gorley, can you? Mosher's all here. God, yeah.
So it's that's why this year we're actually actively trying to do more hostful podcasts because Matt and Jonah can't be at everyone in the middle of the day. But it's funny, a couple years ago when you guys were appearing less and less frequently, you'd see on the comment threads people be like, "Man, this is the beginning of the end, man." It's like people start freaking out, but it's not. Yeah. It was really just a scheduling thing, but now we actually are all just like figuring it out more.
We're figuring it out, guys.
Yeah, we're
5 years.
We're doing our best. we're really doing our
Which
best.
Which anniversary is this? If this was the bronze, what is it?
The
paper. What is it?
I think it's whatever the composite material in 3D printers is.
Magic?
It's magic. This is the magic anniversary. This is the magic anniversary. But the show has become, it really is a learning experience for me. I'm genuinely, if I'm asking questions, because we never prepare before shows, I'm just kind of let the conversation go wherever it's going to go and let the guests sort of dictate what the energy is. And it's genuinely, I've learned so much from the people on. And this last one we did with Bill Gates, and we ended up talking to someone from the epidemiologist who works at the Gates Foundation, and then Julie Sunderland, who manages their charity fund, kind of made me think, like, we should do, like, I would like to kind of regularly do more TED Talk-y ones where it's like we have scientists on and, doctors and teachers and, thought leaders. I think it'd be kind of fun to every once in a while do some fun educational ones.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Too.
Yeah, with fart toys. Yeah, just the polio. What? Just to, like, make it fun. Right? Polio?
Pulio, Matt. Pulio.
Sorry. Pulio.
Is there... What's changed the most for you in the last 5 years?
Everything?
Yeah.
God. I have a career. I am not keeping up with the latest Mac updates.
Yep.
Thank you. It's been weird. I sort of, when I moved out to LA, I was like, "I'll 5 years, buddy, and then you're going back to Massachusetts if nothing's going on." And then 5 years in, I was like, "Oh fuck, I'm on Attack of the Show, and I got this podcast that I'm doing. I guess I can't go back to Boston."
Yeah.
But it's fine. I can fly there anytime I want. I'm super rich, guys.
No, you're not. You spend all that money on useless guitars.
They're not useless. They're really awesome. I was playing 3 of them tonight.
What were the other 20 doing?
Just waiting for their turn. Waiting for some sweet, sweet John Mayer to be played through them.
I feel like you could do a late night commercial for like underprivileged guitars who don't get enough attention. Just like really slow dissolves.
Well,
of...
it's funny you say. Kyle's brother is left-handed and a guitar player, and I was like, I have these guitars I don't ever touch. There's a couple that stay in their case, and then I brought him over to the house, and I was like, here, these are yours now. You'll play them. And it was like, I felt like fucking Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah.
Like, it just was like a great feeling to go like, and then,
yeah,
like,
that's called you doing something selfless for another human being. That's what that feeling is.
Yeah, it made me feel like a rich person.
I was like, guys, you gotta try this. It was fucking awesome to be like, and then like he got to like, because being left-handed, first of all, guys, it's not great. All right. Yes, I'm probably going to be more successful than you. I'm probably smarter. I'm left-handed. We get it.
Yeah, you'll live longer.
More smug than anybody else.
Yeah.
No, we actually live less because we die in accidents because it's a right-handed world. That door should have opened.
No, this one.
But like it's like a, just to talk guitars for a second, it's just... Whenever I go into like a guitar center, there's all these beautiful, beautiful guitars, and then like two Mexican Stratocasters.
Racist.
I mean, it's not racist where they're built.
Stratocastores.
Yes, and it's just like always a bummer because it's always the same guitar that is in every guitar, and there's two out of like 300 guitars. So bringing Kyle's brother over and being like, "Hey, buddy, they're all left-handed."
Oh, was it like that scene in The Karate Kid where Miyagi was like, "Choose"? Okay. Then he picks a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Not like that at
wasn't
all.
Like that.
Fine.
Try go with it, Matt. Just try go with it.
Well, it wasn't like that, Jonah. I wasn't trying to fuck him.
Wax on, wax me off.
That was.
That's what The Karate Kid's about.
So, what? Shut up, Kyle. Is there anything about the podcast that you guys would change, or do you think?
I don't think this is the time or place for this, Chris.
I feel like
it's a little weird.
We're all here to be happy.
All right, well, get out our list.
Okay.
Here are our demands.
How about this? Favorite moment. Do you have a favorite moment from the 5 years where you're...
Well...
I think... No, my favorite... I think my... Well,
taking a private jet, Matt? Was that it?
That was fucking awesome. If you haven't listened to the latest feed, I describe it in detail. My favorite moment, I think, was Mel Brooks. Fucking writing my name on the album to sign to Jonah, and then crossing it out, and then writing to Jonah.
Yeah,
and it was like the perfect encapsulating of everything.
He understood your dynamic.
Yes,
he totally understood your dynamic.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was the Mel Brooks was probably my favorite too.
Yeah.
I was kind of in shock after it happened. Me and Matt drove back after that, and then right when Matt got out of the car, I started to cry. It's weird. I've explained this before, I think, where we get to meet these people because of these people. It's like a weird version of time travel.
Yeah.
Where it's because of, you know, Weird Al or Mel Brooks or Tom Hanks or any of these people that we talked to, we got into doing what we wanted to do, like with performing and comedy and entertainment, and then we get to meet them. So because of them, we get to meet them, and it's just kind of a weird circular thing that makes you kind of your head spin, and then that's when I started sobbing in my car on Wilshire Boulevard. I had to pull over.
A lot of his stories end that way.
Yeah.
Jonah's got some air pressure problems. He's always in a plane. God.
I was watching What Planet Are You From the other day. My Annette Bening starts singing High Hopes because she got pregnant.
Oh, you're not doing a bit right now.
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. He was learning how to be human.
I think there's a handful of moments that stick out to me where I go, oh, shit, I can't believe this is a thing that we're doing. I think one of the first ones was when we went to the Wiltern Theater and podcast Jeff Tweedy, because Wilco was playing. Then they let us, and I just said, well, is it right if we record their sound check and maybe we can get like a live performance out of it? And they go, sure. By the way, I'd like to have a huge hand for Ashley, Olivia, and Debbie Wonder, who book all of our guests. Deb, they came to us from Conan. I was working with them on Talking Dead, and the first season of Talking Dead, I was basically running out of friends. And so I said, you guys book Conan and you book Talking Dead. If I just give you a little extra money, can you guys come in and help book guests? And they came in like way above and beyond and book, you know, because Deb books, if there's a band on the show, Deb booked bands for Conan. And so she got us Wilco, and she asked them if we could record the sound check, and they said yes. And I'd invited Will Wheaton because he was the one that got me into Wilco. And so the moment
I just found the picture. I just, in that Time Hop app, I got the picture the other day of you and Will watching Wilco soundcheck.
Which was like, it was like a private concert because the stage was all done up. They were playing in like 2 hours, 3 hours, and they played a full set, and Will and I were just sitting in the empty Wiltern Theater, like going.
A lot of Will in this story.
I was like, Will.
I was also sitting there, but because I don't have a Will in my name, I guess there's not a way to mention me.
You know,
I also, you know, I missed that episode. I wasn't there.
I was sitting there with Will going, this is what the podcast should be.
Just me behind him taking pictures.
So that sticks out. I think the podcast with my dad was probably the most significant conversation I had ever had with my father my entire life. I just happened to be in Memphis. I happened to have the Zoom, and I go, you know, he's a great storyteller. I'll just sit down and talk to him. And what followed was like the most humanizing experience that changed the relationship that we had from then on. We got so much closer, and I released it on Father's Day, and the secondary Father's Day present for him was seeing all the comments, hundreds, like the most engaged, I think even more than Tom Hanks, most engaged comment threads of people going, you know, this made me closer to my father. This made me decide to call my parents. This made me miss my dad. It's very special that you did this. And then when he died a little over a year ago, I was so like, I would get upset thinking about what if I hadn't recorded that episode. So The podcast hasn't just changed like on a professional level, but on a personal level, I feel like it's made us closer. It's gotten me closer to friends because unfortunately the times we catch up are the times we sit down to have them on the podcast, and it's unfortunate that a work reason does that, but across every sector, this has been such a significant and special thing for me, and it's crazy that a whole audience of people out there has been along for that, because you forget a lot of the time when you're recording, like, other people are going to hear this, like, this isn't just for us.
Wait, what?
Yeah. do you have any significant...
I mean, fucking sitting in a room with Paul fucking McCartney is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't say a word to the end.
I tried in the beginning. I tried. I was like a fucking, like, next to a hot girl going, oh, you like almond milk?
Hold on. That's the first question you ask a hot girl.
It's a euphemism.
Yeah. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast.
Do you like almond milk or nut butter? But these guys in the Paul McCartney podcast were so adorable because they were just like this the whole time. Like, I could see the trying to look cool, but just too tense. And then I think at a certain point I was like, do you guys want to ask a question? And Paul's like, yeah, you really dominated the conversation.
Yeah.
And then the questions that you both asked were such fucking great questions. Yours was about the track that...
Temporary Secretary for Paul McCartney 2.
Yes, and yours was about...
Guitars.
Yes. But,
He's a lefty.
He is a lefty. Yeah. He strung his guitar upside down. Yeah. I was there for the podcast.
We learned a lot, guys.
I remember. Yeah.
Weird.
You know, I love that... Kyle, come here and sit down for a sec. This is Kyle Clark, by the way. Kyle...
Wow, I've never seen him move so fast.
I got long legs, okay? It's two steps.
Also, hey.
Two step, great Dave Matthews song. Go ahead.
Two steps too many, if you ask me.
Kyle, I brought on to the podcast because I realized that most of the podcasts are just they're just all riffing, especially the Hostfuls are just all riffing, and so I never go back and listen to the podcast because I don't have time. And so I was like, Kyle, I'm going to bring you on. Just take notes. If I say anything, not anything anyone else says, but if I say something that you think I should explore as a bit, just take show notes for me. And so that's why we started bringing Kyle on. And then you started sitting into some of the podcasts. You sat in for the Rollins podcast. And then the internet responded the way the internet normally responds, which is in the beginning, it's like, who the fuck is this guy? And now I've noticed like the last year, people are like, I'd really love to hear more from Kyle. Like now you're
a big fan of those people.
Yeah. it's not so all weird. Of them. Yeah.
The screen names are like K. Clark 47.
Kyle Clark is awesome. Kyle Clark is bitchin'.
I do believe Titty Fucker 86 also said it once, though.
It's 87, but whatever.
But Kyle is at Kyle Clark is rad on Twitter if you want to follow him. But how has the experience been for you?
It has been such a surreal thing because I started off just like everybody else in this room, just a huge fan of the podcast. I was doing open mics and would just drive out to Hollywood to go and do stuff. So I would listen to the Nerdist driving to stuff. I like actually earlier today, I had a distinct memory of sitting in my car listening to the first podcast you guys did from Nerdmelt, the Black Dynamite one.
Oh,
and thinking to myself, those guys are so cool. And this is like a thing. And it's like in the back of a comic book store. And they're like dudes. Like, and Matt works at the Apple store. And like Jonah likes bands that I like. And like Chris was in House of Thousand Corpses.
I was. Yeah.
It took me
two out of three.
It took me.
Shut up, Meatloaf.
It took me 2 years of knowing you before I wore my Captain Spaulding shirt. And then I started going, oh, Spaulding. And I was like, oh, okay, we're good. and to working here, like I started interning and then working with Matt on the open mic and then filling in for Matt on the open mic when
constantly.
He became rich. And and then that's been my baby for like 3 years now. I was literally on this stage for the last 2 hours before the show running that.
And then I hired Kyle to work on Talking Dead.
Yeah,
so Kyle,
I work on Talking Dead and doing Nerd Turns, the two-season show I did for the Nerdist channel. This is all so far beyond anything I could have fathomed happening, being just like a dude in Simi Valley going, oh, I really want to tell jokes.
And Kyle also, just so you know, like Kyle lives way out in...
It's a half an hour. It's not that far.
It's so fucking far.
Guys, I don't know if you've been to the Reagan Library, but that's
But
where
I'm
it
also
is,
on so. The closer side of town. That's on the other side of town.
And Kyle,
Brody Stevens!
He lived in Simi.
Simi so Valley.
Like, he's like Simi Valley's own Kyle Clark.
Haskell Boulevard, look into it. The 4 and 20. It's a restaurant.
It was all orange groves.
But Kyle was a substitute teacher. Like that was his job. He went in and taught.
Couldn't
kids
make it permanent, huh, buddy?
No. Still on
that's,
the call list.
That's
though.
Crazy. You look like a substitute teacher. I never knew that.
That's the cardigans. That'll do it.
Like the cool guy. It's like
oh yeah. Oh no, they
Mr.
love it.
Clark's here. He wears jeans.
Yeah.
He yells at us because we don't know who Black Flag is.
Yeah.
It's true. No, I ruined a kid's day once because I knew what Odd Future was and just ruined for that young person. Like, oh, the guy in the sweater knows Odd Future. They're no longer cool.
Yeah, Kyle is basically Wikipedia.
It's like, a low-level autism, I guess.
Low-level?
I'm functioning.
That's adorable. I don't know. Like, what is there? Because I love having you pop on from time to time. I mean, is there one moment that sticks out for you where, like, I can't fucking believe this is happening?
It's weird because it's actually a very specific memory that's.
What did I say?
Yeah, poor Kyle was
the date and the time.
Poor Kyle was emotionally gang jumped by the sister wives
when
he first came on.
Oh, if you guys want to join a gang, don't have the cattiest ladies in the world.
Meow.
I mean, well, no, but it was fine. It was not helping that Reddit was calling me the new Jonah.
That doesn't make me feel.
Whoa.
Oh, I didn't like it either.
So guys, let's just agree, Jonah's not great at being Jonah.
You finally put it into words what I've been feeling all along.
5 years in, there's a breakthrough.
Yeah.
But it was the Scott Adsit episode, which I wasn't even on. But it was real late at E when we were still over at the E Studios, Seacrest World.
Yeah.
And it was dark, so it was just like Scott Adsit and his wife and you and me sitting in the studio. And you were talking about the different dynamics that different combinations of people have on the show. And you're like, it's different when I host it alone versus when Matt's just here or Jonah's just here or it's all of them. And then you said, or when Kyle sits in. And that was the first time, it was maybe a year into doing the show, that I was like, oh, this is like, I'm like a, I am a part of the continuity of this larger thing. And that I had a long drive to a gig out in Huntington Beach after that and just sort of sat in silence for a long time on it, just not knowing how to process that.
That is so fucking adorkable. You should.
It was just so weird.
Put it to ukulele.
Because it directly sort of linked to remembering sitting in that parking lot, going into that open mic, thinking, oh my God, like those guys are so cool. And that's like, and to go from there to being like, oh, and when Kyle sits in, and I'm like, holy shit, that's like a dream thing. That's not something, my life over the last 3.5 years since doing this is all stuff I couldn't possibly fathom ever happening.
Also, Kyle is a great comedian. He's come a long way as a comic, and he's been solid ever since I started seeing him perform. So much that he's going to be putting out a split on my record label. But like, it's like if you have a chance, Kyle has his own cassette tape out.
I do.
Yeah, which I made fun of.
Yeah, can you believe it?
I made fun of
him. Kyle has a cassette out.
Yeah. Yep. So all you guys with 86 Volvos can listen to.
Actually, if you go to KyleClarkComedy.bandcamp.com, it's also for free there.
Hey,
so you can get a free version.
Bro, we're trying to sell shit for you.
He says it's free.
But, Jonah, I gotta say, like you have been integral in a lot of like development moments in my stand-up. Like Nerdist was one level of impossible. But
someone's
like,
gonna sob in his car now.
For different reasons than you think.
Well, in my mind, I heard a young lady over here go, "Whoa!" And then when you said that, I was like, "Wait, was that Jonah?"
I know.
Yeah. Sometimes my heart's louder than my voice.
I never.
That's because you have hypertension.
I never wanted anything more than I wanted to be on the Meltdown show. That was the top of the mountain. That was, I didn't care about TV. I didn't care about anything else. That show was the benchmark for what good comedy is in the world. It still is to me. It's nothing beats it. And the tone you guys set with that show, the style of it, the Salazar's high-fiving everybody. I went there on a date where I think I was almost more excited to just be at the Meltdown show.
Jesus.
Than to be out.
You're
with
not
the
still
girl.
With that girl.
No, of course
I
not.
Sure am. I'm sure.
Course
my girlfriend I met through this theater. She was a writer and actress in the second season of Her Turns, and we ended up becoming a couple during the course of that show. But that doing that Meltdown show, the face you're making is beautiful. It's all I've ever wanted to see.
My goodness, situation.
and I remember,
I think when you talk about this, you just get real close to his face.
Like, if we kiss, like, the internet's finally going to be satisfied.
No, the world would end. The existence would.
It's like Time Cop. Like, yeah. I can't touch you or the world.
We can't exist in the same physical space.
But I think the one of the few times in my life I've had to, like, suck it up and not cry a little bit was not walking onto it, because that's too surreal. Like, because I was still working at a school at that point. That day, I was just working at a school, running my set over and over again in my head. And then, but walking off stage, and it was, Kumail brought me up, and then it meant that when I finished the set and thanked the audience, I turned, and it was fucking you.
Oh.
Like, right. And a bunch of kids didn't get an education that day because your head was elsewhere.
No, that was the best part, is I woke up the next day and just had to go back to work, and I'm like, guys, Dana Gould was on the show, and they're like, who?
Yeah.
They just pulled out the two VHS copies of Das Boot. Yeah. We're like, watch this.
From the first season of Working.
Thank you for that, Kyle.
It's been joyous to have you on, and you know,
it's
obviously
been
the more
an honor.
Well, that's how I've been. You know, but the fun thing has been sneaking people, basically like getting mini hostfuls and intros.
Oh yeah,
you know,
that's been fun. Me and Katie just popping around and making Katie uncomfortable, and like I got to shout out that my dad got hip surgery on like 2 weeks ago, and that was like, oh, that's
gross. He's a different kind of hipster.
Or Matt talking about, like, I was laughing, I'm like, I have to text my brother to listen to this episode because he talks about the five guitars Matt gave him.
Well, a huge hand for Kyle Clark. And then I want to bring out Katie Levine for a minute, too. Katie!
Katie!
KT Money! Katie is at the letter K, the letter T, underscore money, at KT Money on Twitter. Katie used to work for the Corolla's network, and I think one of the times I went to his podcast, or maybe I got a message from him. He was like, "Hey, it's Adam. I got a girl over here named Katie, and she's a big fan of the podcast, and she'd really love to come on to figure out if there's anything over there." And so I met her, you know, I met her at G4. You came by G4 and
yeah,
we met.
Yeah, I came to Web Soup.
You came to Web Soup, and then, you know, that was, we were only really doing a couple podcasts at that time. And
I mean, it was 4 years ago, so you guys had been, you mean on the network?
Yeah.
No, it was just you guys.
Just us at that point?
Yeah.
And so Katie came on because I was just running out of time to produce the podcast. And so she came on and has been there ever since, and really the breadth which with the network exists is almost entirely due to Katie Levine, because she produces most of the podcasts. She makes sure they all go up on time. She, you know, like, writes the descriptions, makes sure that everything is edited the right way, and does everything. So, I mean, you like the fact that you're listening to this right now, she deserves a huge round of applause.
And let it be known that she is the biggest Seattle Seahawks fan you'll ever meet.
She's shaking
her
head.
Just start tweeting at her, "Go Seahawks."
No, please don't do that. Also, I want to thank Aristotle, who helps me run.
Yeah, Aristotle.
Who's here somewhere.
So, what... And also, what I love is that you've gotten a lot more comfortable talking on mic. In the beginning, when we would refer to you, just be like... You'd wave your hand like, "No, don't, please don't talk to me." And... But now you've sort of come out. So how's the experience been from your vantage point?
It's been interesting because, you know, it's grown so much, and I've seen the audience grow so much, and it's just been cool, like, the people we get now, like Tom Hanks, and the fact that, like, Tom Hanks wanted to come back. Yeah. It's just crazy to me. That's awesome.
Yeah, because we just got – Jeff Bridges has been on twice, and we just got a call a couple weeks ago, and he's like, "Bridges wants to come back on." Like,
and that's so
okay.
Cool.
Okay. Tell him okay.
Yeah. Tell him we abide. Yeah.
like the movie.
You seen it?
Now, the what is the fact, because when the podcast first kind of took off, and it sort of took off right away. Like, if you look at the growth of the podcast, it starts day one, and it just kind of goes like this. Even up to now, it continues to grow. And I got so excited about doing it and about the changes that it had fostered that I started going around to everyone, like Kumail and Emily and Pete Holmes, and I'm like, "You guys have got to do a podcast." Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, we're thinking about it anyway." I go, "Well, we have a producer now that can make that possible. All you have to do is just come in and do it." You know, we basically just created a ton of competition for ourselves, but I didn't care because I got so excited about it that I wanted everyone to sort of feel the effects of it, not just the creative expression, but also having your own thing and having it help shows and everything. But like, what else have you seen since you've been here?
Just podcasting growing as a whole, like as an industry, and actually becoming
Siri.
Viable thing. It was before that, because I used to tell people I worked in podcasting, and they go, "What's that?" And now people know, and that's cool.
You're such a J. From Serial.
Oh, Jesus.
But, I mean, it's just cool because we have over 30 shows now, and it's just fun because we have shows ranging from, you know, The Mutant Season, which is hosted by 12-year-old Gil, but he was 9 when we started, and we have Pete's, and we have Kurt Brownoler, and just how people come to me now saying, "I want to start a podcast," and I think that's really cool.
And you're like, "The field's too crowded."
I'm
people
too
as
busy.
Young as Gil and as old as Chris.
Tom Wilson does a podcast. He's older than I am.
Yeah, him too.
Because Katie, you are a sports loving.
I am.
Like,
I don't fit in here at all. Not at all. I don't know what you guys are talking about half the time.
It's true, and she doesn't give a shit.
No, doesn't care.
Well, that's why if something happens on the podcast and it makes Katie laugh, it's a really big deal.
Everyone says that. And I, like, Pete always says that. He goes, "Oh, I made Katie laugh." But I'm just trying not to laugh crazy loud when I'm in the room.
Like someone we know.
I'm smart
Used to be my thing.
I try to like kind of keep it quiet, I guess. I don't know, but.
Yeah. Where do you see podcasting going, like, as a medium? Where do you see it going? Do you see it getting bigger, or do you see that it's plateaued?
We're gonna solve some more crimes. What's happening?
I hope that it continues to grow. I think it'll become more accessible to people. It'll be in cars, just automatically, like in the interface. Because you know, as a whole, I feel like podcasting does still need to grow a lot for the common person to know about it. But
right.
Yeah, as I've been working in it now for like almost 6 years. And it's grown so much from when I started, which is from like my first day at Corolla.
What were you doing at Corolla's show?
I was a producer on his show, and then I produced a couple other shows. Like I would do A's on the House, CarCast, which was my favorite, because we got to drive really, really cool cars. And then a couple other shows.
Yeah, are there particular types of moments on any of the shows that you produce where you go, ah, this is why I do it?
The second time we had Tom Hanks, he remembered who I was. And that was really cool. Mel Brooks, when we came in and we introduced ourselves, I was like, oh, I'm Katie. And he goes, Levine. And I was like, yeah. Like, he had looked at the list, and he was like, oh, there's a Jew. And, no, he did. And then he goes, you're Levine. And I was like, that's me. And then he, like, made a Jew joke and looked at me like, eh?
Still got it.
So that was really cool.
And we appreciate you being the Jewish soundboard. Like, if ever someone says something like, blah, 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 Holocaust, we look to Katie, and if she gives a thumbs up, we're like, it stays!
You mean if I say anything?
Yeah, that's what I really meant. Yeah, if Matt says anything.
Jews are great.
Oh, God.
That sounds horrible.
It really does.
But I mean it.
It really does. I know, but even when you're being sincere, it sounds
guys,
icky.
Guys, now my girlfriend's Jewish. It's awesome.
It's almost ickier when you're sincere. Like, yeah. It almost seems a little bit.
Now I'm wondering about your motives of getting a Jewish girlfriend. Now I can say whatever I want.
Well,
we're
going
to adopt a black baby. Then I'm scot-free.
Matt tried to convert to Judaism when he was a teenager because he thought you had to be Jewish to be funnier.
That's true.
I thought you had to be
Canadian.
I wanted
to, when I was like 12 or when I was... Yeah, I guess I was 12. I asked my mother if I could be bar mitzvahed. Because I honestly, I was a real dumb kid. I thought, oh, if I want to go into comedy, I obviously need to be in the, you know...
In the chosen
in the
tribe.
What?
In the chosen tribe.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. So she got me a book. She got me a... Remember the Idiot's Guides?
Yeah.
She got me the Idiot's Guide to Judaism.
Isn't that Christianity?
Points.
Don't cross-pollinate. Don't cross-pollinate. Please.
Hashtag Herschel's Bloody Stump. Sorry, I get them confused. The shows. Let's see these. 50 single women.
Chris. What? Chris, you're sliding. You're sliding.
Welcome to Shipmates. Give me a drink.
To check in a box.
Yeah, and then I started reading the book, and I was like, this is just the first half of the Bible. I was like, this is too hard. And then I just stayed Catholic for like 5 more years.
Well, Katie, is there anything you want to say before we send you back into the booth? Any parting words? Anything?
Thanks everyone for listening. You guys are great.
Thank you. Katie Levine, go back and produce. And now, a very special treat because the show started on Super Bowl Sunday and the Super Bowl is coming up and I do not have any type of understanding or intelligent thing to say about it. I have invited my mom to come on the podcast for a few minutes. Please welcome Sharon Hills. Sit here. Yeah, and just get up on the microphone.
Okay.
So, first of all, you were great on At Midnight last week, or whenever it was you were on. I had to beg her to come on. She was like, I don't want to be on TV. I'm like, you gotta. It's going to be... I don't know how to talk about sports. You know, my mom, first of all, my parents were amazing because when I was growing up, I had no content restrictions. They let me watch R-rated everything. It didn't matter.
Don't tell
well,
me.
You did.
It's just because I didn't know what you were watching.
I know, but the second that you notice.
I'm a good mom, still, right?
Yeah. The second that you noticed that I was watching Saturday Night Live and I love Steve Martin, you basically just, here's a bunch of Steve Martin albums. Here's a bunch of, here's Richard Pryor. Here's like, you immediately noticed and you fostered that. So the fact that I had no content restrictions. Now, growing up, my mom, who is a very sweet little Italian lady, becomes a foul-mouthed sailor when she's watching sports. So that was the one time there were swears in my house is when there were sports on. And so that's why I said you got to come on at midnight and just talk about sports. And you did, and it was great. And you called Jim Rome a pussy, which was awesome. And you started a Twitter account, which is at NerdistMom, which is your Twitter account now. So
Jonah, I heard your heart again.
That was both of my hearts.
So I basically want, first of all, have you, because you listen to the podcast sometimes.
Yeah.
Have you, what have you?
Oh, really? What's your favorite one?
What have you noticed? Have you,
all of them.
What have you noticed about the podcast in the last 5 years? Is there anything that you've noticed at all?
You mean different from when it started?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw it develop. I saw everybody more comfortable. I saw bigger names coming on. I saw Bill Gates' PR guy was an asshole prick. Well,
Sharon, if we could please just keep it to the list of how you've seen it progress.
Mom, keep it to the Gates Foundation. Yeah.
Sharon, who you got this weekend coming up for Super Bowl? I'll talk sports with you. I'm the only one who gives a shit.
All right. Well, someone asked me on Twitter, who am I pulling for?
You know you're not supposed to answer them in real life. You're supposed to like...
I did.
If they want the answer, they'll search.
I did.
Hello, computer.
A keyboard. How
quaint.
Who
am I pulling for? Neither. I hate them both.
Okay. So it's...
Sharon, that is not a good answer.
Nope.
You know one of them has to win, right?
I'm not going to... No. You asked me who I'm pulling for... There's a difference who I think is going to win and who I'm pulling for.
Okay, so
who did you want to go to the Super Bowl?
If I could have had any team, well, from the AFC, I would have loved to have the Steelers. I love Ben Roethlisberger.
I love that because our boss owns the Steelers.
All right, great.
Good answer.
Okay. You know, I think Brady is going to blow up his balls to the proper PSI.
Who's going to help him?
Yeah, he did that.
Giselle. No, he's going to blow them back up. And I think they're going to win.
Yeah, because they're in FU mode.
I know that's making you happy because I'm cheaters, you don't mind.
I don't give a shit.
That's,
as long as we're not Yankees, I'm fine.
Oh, let's don't start. Don't start with me.
I will start.
Don't start.
Sharon.
Do not start
Sharon.
With me on that.
Sharon.
Do not fucking go there.
Sharon.
I don't know who to side with.
Your mom, Chris.
Your mother.
What's wrong
Always
with you?
Always your mother.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you mad about the baseball thing?
No, he's going to put down the Yankees because...
Yeah,
because
they suck.
Oh, fuck you, Matt.
Fuck Well, let's see how A-Rod does blowing up his balls now that he's back.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, fucking steroids over there.
Oh, yeah.
Go Sox! Nova!
Why do you like the Yankees?
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, tradition. I've always... I'm one of those people that I love the Yankees and I love the Dodgers. Some people can't do that. But I figure...
Don't clap.
Thank you.
That's my mom, Matt. Shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Don't clap.
No, I like both. I just those Red Sox.
What
I
about
mean,
them? How great they are? You want to talk about how awesome
they are? No, no, no.
You like David Ortiz? He's real smiley.
No.
Nice big slugger out there.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
David Ortiz?
Dirt dog, like, oh, my God.
I'm not doing a bit. I don't know who that is.
No, he's not. He really doesn't.
Chris,
let me tell you how I got into this last week on At Midnight. I was at Chris's house while he was away on a trip on Sunday watching football on his big screen TV. And he came home.
It's 80 inches, no big deal.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And he came home, and I'm like livid, I'm pacing, I'm swearing, I'm just going off. And normally he runs away.
But Mom!
You do.
Where do you go, Chris?
And I should have known.
To a safe place.
To my happy place.
I should have known something was up because he was sitting there next to me and he was acting like he was kind of interested in what I was saying. I didn't realize.
Chris is never interested.
He was studying.
Chris found a way to make money off of you.
That's exactly right.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
She just pointed and said, that's exactly right.
No, no.
Sharon, 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 Sharon.
My interest is only in entertainment value. Now, if that allows me to buy an 80-inch screen TV or a robot toilet, so be it. But comedy and entertainment is my number one priority, and I knew that you would be entertaining.
But you were more engaged with me during that second game when I was already ranting about the first game and I was saying, this game sucks. I mean, it's a runaway. It's ridiculous.
Sure was.
You know, they shouldn't even be here anyway. They shouldn't even be playing as, you know. And then I started about Aaron Rodgers and just about everything I said on the show was kind of what I said. It, you know what? I felt like Sterling. Like, I made a private remark.
Whoa! Mom. If you want to keep watching TV on an 80-inch screen, you better shut up right now.
No, I'm not siding with him.
I hate him.
But just don't broadcast it.
Good.
No, but I'm just saying, I didn't know everything I was saying and everything I was doing
was going to be broadcast?
Right. You were, those little wheels were
okay,
turning.
You scared the shit out of me for a second there.
No, you really scared the shit out of me. No, I've hated Donald Sterling before you were born. So
okay, good.
How long ago was that?
You're in your 30s, Jonah.
Never!
Were you ever disappointed that I wasn't really a sports that I didn't really understand sport? Because I don't think there was ever a time in my life when I had any understanding of it.
Well, I knew you didn't have any understanding when we put you on the basketball team. And you were really good at shooting baskets. But he goes out there the first game. I think he was about 7.
He had a bat.
And
time to make a touchdown, fellas!
Hey, Mom, I got my basketball cleats on.
And we knew we were in trouble when we got in the car after the game, and he said proudly, I didn't foul anybody. And then we went, why don't you try fouling someone?
So punch then the, someone, Chris,
so
just
then
hit.
The next week, he goes out there. He gets fouled, and he gets bumped in the nose. He makes the basket. He's supposed to go to the line for 2 points, and he starts walking off the court, and we all go, where are you going? He goes, I'm injured.
I don't want to be out there. I made one basket. I did what I was supposed to do. I was just, let's go home and have pizza.
So the coach said, I think you're okay. Could you come out and just shoot the 2 baskets? He goes out there, swish, swish, turns around, and walks off the court. That was it.
Were you Teen Wolf?
Yeah, but I wanted to win as me, not the wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no.
Explains all the surfing on cars I've seen him doing.
Yeah.
No,
Teen Wolf is the most basketball I've ever watched, by the way.
No, I wasn't really disappointed. I mean, my aspiration, I always wanted you to do something in sports. I thought professional golfer, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. You're really good at tennis. You're good at individual sports.
Yeah. Professional bocce ball.
Yeah. Hey, watch out. We're Italian.
Yeah. Don't listen to the fucking Hawaiian.
Hands up.
The, yeah, the, I've done a lot of things. I've gotten to do a lot of cool things. The one time that my mom actually cried was a couple years ago. I called her up and I go, hey, I got asked to do something. This isn't something I would care about, but I feel like it's something that you would care about. She goes, are you throwing out the first pitch of the Dodger game? Like, right off the bat. Like, she solved the puzzle with just an R. And I go, yeah? And I hear the phone drop. He's like, oh, my God! Oh, my God! I've never been so happy! You're going to go there a week before. You're going to get a pitching coach. You are not going to embarrass me on that field. I was like, okay. So I went out and I worked with a pitching coach the week before, and I didn't fully embarrass myself.
No, you did great.
You impressed
you
me.
You did great,
you
yeah.
Throw a ball.
Well, I just wanted you to understand that the mound looks really different from television or from the stands than when you get out there.
Yeah.
And
just like
you
in
need
porn.
It. And you
mom, hey, it's my mom. I said porn in front of my mom.
You didn't pull out any of my films, did you?
Damn it. It's no fun when you do it back. Supposed to be, oh,
wait,
man.
Wait, wait.
No, don't, Matt.
So you're telling me you ask about almond milk?
Oh, my God. Well, so anyway, so you think that...
Okay, hang on. Just it's not an inappropriate question or anything like that. In
oh,
your,
God.
I just want to know where the joke in your mind, in your mind, the joke because it was very funny.
So okay. Yeah, let's talk about it, dissect
no,
it.
No. I just want to know. I just want to know what your in your mind.
Where did you get your ideas from?
Was your angle that you have at home an extensive pornography collection, or that you had starred in some films?
Correct.
Go.
So you think the Green Bay?
No, they're out of it. Why do you think I was so pissed off?
Oh, you want a Green Bay to...
Well, because I love Aaron Rodgers. I think right now Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback right now.
No.
Yes.
No. Who is?
Yeah, he thinks Tom
Brady. Montana.
Tom...
I'm just like, A, you knew a quarterback.
Yeah, because he was on Saturday Night Live.
So was Brady.
Okay, so you think they're going to win. Well, now, what about your fascination with the Dolphins? Because you're from Miami, and you were always...
I thought you were going to go to the thing about Dolphins, like actual Dolphins. I was like...
Don't go there. I know where you're going. No.
Where was I going? Mother is like 80 steps ahead of all of us.
I know.
Okay, I am really down on the Dolphins. I'm not a fan right now. I think they hired the wrong coach. I screamed about it when they hired, his name's Philbin, Coach Philbin. I didn't think he was the right guy.
Regis Philbin's a terrible football coach.
That's right. No, Regis Philbin would have been a better coach. No, seriously, he knows more. The guy is just not pro material. He should have stayed in college. I can't even go there. Don't start me on the Dolphins.
Okay, I will not start you on the Dolphins, but I will finish you here. This is the most sports talk that's ever taken place at Meltdown Comics. A huge hand for my mom, Sharon, at Nerdist Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
And now...
That was like... walking across the 38th parallel. A lot of landmines. We avoided most.
But now, we just have a little bit of time left for...
I don't even think
does
people
anyone ever remember
the
remember that this was a thing that we did.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment.
What?
It's a hang. It's a whoa. It's a meow 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 meow.
For 10 minutes before the show, we were doing meowsy, just putting meows into Smiths and Morrissey songs.
Don't meow. Meow the meows about to meow by your meow. Such a heavenly meow to meow.
I feel like even though Tom couldn't be here, Tom Lennon's here.
There is a meow that
never meow meow.
So we can take a handful of quements. Where's the is it this microphone right here? So it's not a wireless.
It's your
mic.
Laughing place, Kyle.
So who has right here in the front row in the boss hat? What is your name and what is your quements?
I am Ryan from We Drove from Arizona to come to the show.
Pretty fucking boss, Ryan.
I actually got to, so I'll try to keep this as quick as possible. 3.5 years ago, I started listening to the show. I was a janitor at a baseball field. Last year, I after listening to you guys for a long time,
just bought the team.
You bought the Diamondbacks? What a dummy.
But I got inspired to do what I want with my life instead, so I went back to school for journalism. I got to interview you, Matt and Jonah, before the My Ray and the High Ray show last year for Phoenix New Times.
It's very true.
And as of next week, I'll be starting my career as a journalist at a local magazine. Thanks.
Awesome! Congratulations! Well, it's not... It's not... It's not.
There's that My Ray in the Highway article, right?
But no, seriously, it was like literally like on a personal level. Thank you to you guys for doing that and everything, and then you know.
But congratulations to you for recognizing like, oh, I'm gonna pursue a thing that I really want to pursue.
That's not, fucking
like,
awesome.
We can just suggest, hey, people try this. Not everyone will do that. So like, if you took the time and energy to do that, then you know, congratulations to you.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much for everything. It was like a big deal that I don't hate what I do anymore. So thank you. Guys.
Nice.
Congratulations.
The luckiest thing. Awesome.
Now, I know, for listening audience, please forgive us that we're slobbering over. This is basically like an infomercial for the Nerdist podcast. It's like, I love you, and I love you, and this is great! But this is, you know, like, this, we're sort of celebrating 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, sir.
Don't worry about it.
Hi, my name's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
That was it, thank you. No, my best friend and I are at a stage in our life where we're trying to get into podcasts and stuff like this. So what was the thing you learned most from doing this for 5 years? What was like the biggest learning experience you guys took from this?
Consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, consistency.
I don't know what you're talking about. James Bonding will be out eventually, and Phoebe's coming sometime.
Matt learned do as many podcasts as you can squeeze into your schedule, as many different ones. Yeah, Jonah's right. Consistency. Like if you... You know, whatever agreement you make with your audience, even if it's once a month or once a week or twice a month, just stick to that. And you can always expand, but start simple and grow and have people on from different podcasts to help, you know, like basically part of the way that this sort of digital media stuff works is it's like YouTube is really the perfect and it happened in podcasting, too. Hey, you appear on my show, I'll appear on your show. We'll share each other's audiences, and when we pull away, we'll have, you know, these covalent bonds, you know, where we're sharing our molecules.
Regular Bill Belichick over here.
So, I don't get it.
We did a fucking question on At Midnight about that.
And I didn't get it then either! So, consistency, sharing your audience, listening to your audience, you're really creating a relationship with the people who are listening. So, you know, I think it's always good when you're listening to your audience about what to do with the show, take the most glowing reviews and the most negative reviews and just sort of squish those out and just kind of listen to the middle, you know, because those tend to be the most balanced. Those are, you know, people say like, you guys can't stand criticism. We can stand criticism. We can't stand rudeness. People are not aware of how they communicate sometimes. So they go, this podcast is a fucking waste of time. And you're like, hey, you're being really rude. Guess you can't take criticism. Like, no, I can't take a cock being a dick.
Whoa.
That's different. But if someone says, like, oh, it would be really, you know, just as a suggestion, you know, it would be cool. I'd love to hear more of this. Or I'm like, okay, well, you know, because we don't always, you don't always, you're not always going to know what you're doing. But so just listen to your audience, form a relationship with them, and stay consistent. And just always try to figure out how to make it fun. It's a medium that you can literally do anything with, which is why we're like, why not do live shows at Largo? Why not go and do a music studio? Why not have a screening and do a movie panel? Why not do Comic-Con panels? Like, it just you can do literally anything you want with it. So don't. Just the limit is however whatever you can imagine.
You want to pretend to solve a murder? Do that too.
Oh, I won't pretend.
You will actually solve a murder. Great, thanks, Dan. Thank you. Good luck with your podcast. Couple more. I see a hand in the back there, and then we'll kind of scoot around this way and get to you guys. I think that guy's gonna have to come forward.
Come here.
Come forward.
Come to me.
Yes. Oh, Kyle has hypnotized him using vampire magic. What's your name, sir?
My name's Daniel.
Hey, Daniel, what's your question?
Hey, Daniel.
It's not that.
There can be only one.
But I just want to say thanks. About like 4 to 5 years ago, I kind of gave up on my dreams about going into art, and I did this like fan animation a while back ago that you guys put onto the Nerdist TV pilot. Yeah. And you guys let me do an animation for the
Jackie Dan.
Yes, Jackie Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, who, like, Daniel basically, if you saw the animated thing with from the Kevin Smith podcast or stuff for the TV show, that was him. He did that.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And, you know,
self-taught.
The thing that was so amazing about it is that it looks like professional animation, and it was just a hobby for you.
Yeah, well, it's just like when I graduated from with my bachelor's degree, I had a degree in computer animation, but I was kind of stressed by some friends and families that I shouldn't go toward that. I went to more math for teaching.
Yeah.
And I did that for like 2 years, and then like one like winter break was like, you know what, I'm gonna animate a little thing. So I animated like a 10-second like animation clip and sent you guys like, yeah, it's gonna be nothing. And like you guys responded when like, oh, you should do this more. You should like pursue this more. And like I was like, okay, so like after 2 years of teaching math, I was like, you know what, I'm going to teach art for a little bit. And I taught art, and it was really an awesome experience. Like, I had some, like, really cool experiences where kids would say, like, I couldn't draw anything. I could only draw, like, stick figures. And they would say comments like, I would teach them how to draw a human face, spend, like, 3 months with them on how to do the techniques, like eyes, nose, mouth, ears. And eventually they would say, like, yeah, I gave it to my mom. She cried when she saw it. I was like, I just taught you how to draw. So, yeah, that's about it.
Is it because you taught the kids to draw penises, too?
He taught them how to draw noses that are dicks.
But, yeah, it's just to say thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you. Are you still at Jackie Dan show?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I don't really tweet much or post off that much at all. But, yeah, I'm at Jackie Dan show. And I do have an Instagram. It's Spellman Teach. On Instagram, and that's it.
Well, it's good to see you, Daniel. Thank you so much. And then you, and then the young lady in the back.
All right, meet me halfway across the table.
Oh, there you go.
Help him.
Ooh, Kyle, you're vicious.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Matt.
Yes, it is.
Bullshit. You can't. What?
Your name is Dan.
We gotta fight the dance.
Hi, Dander. Clunky.
So there's a theme that you guys have had throughout the podcast that I've found really interesting.
Yeah, it's called Onomatoguchi.
that I remember Bryan Cranston, but I know a number of other guys have mentioned that like famous people think they're going to be discovered. They're like, oh, I shouldn't be here. And somebody's going to come up and say, oh, why are you here?
Imposter syndrome. Paul McCartney said he had it too.
Exactly. And so I was wondering if you guys feel that, or if having other people say that has sort of opened your eyes to it, or what that.
I think everyone probably has that because it's difficult. It's easier to imagine, and I don't know if this is just a function of the human brain or if it's a societal thing. It's easier to envision failure, like, and I think a lot of people are self-destructive and they almost subconsciously fail on purpose because that's a thing they can control. And people are more about controlling their environment than actually taking risks or experimenting with their environments, because it's weird that people would rather not succeed because they know that that's controllable. And so I think we all sort of – it's difficult to imagine that we could do something that makes us happy or accomplish things like it's not allowed for some reason. You know, like, oh, don't shine too much or, you know, you'll fail. I don't know if this is part of like Catholic guilt or whatever, but you know, this idea of if something good happens, something bad's got to happen too. It's bullshit. That's not the way it works.
That's the Italian side.
It is the Italian side. If something good happen, or something. Something bad happened.
Now say pepperoni pizza.
A pepperoni pizza.
There you go.
So yeah, I mean, you know, when things seem to be going well in life, and right now I don't really have any complaints. You know, work is amazing. We're doing a lot of cool stuff, and I'm dating a girl that I'm crazy about. Like all this wonderful, Shut up! You shut the fuck up! You shut the fuck up! All these amazing. Yeah, you kind of like, is this okay? Is it okay? And the answer is yes, it's okay. Don't create roadblocks for yourself. Like, the universe doesn't care if you succeed or fail. It's neutral.
But to that point, like, do you have any of the whole, like, I mean, because I, as far as the imposter syndrome goes, every day I wake up, I go, oh, they're going to find out I can't write a joke. I can't be funny in, like, at all. And it all goes away.
Well, they won't find out. Don't worry about it.
I have that worry. So,
that's the thing. It's like,
I always, every day I wake up and I go, I can't fucking write a sentence.
Well, that's the thing. Is it, you know, sometimes you find, like, you'll hear, I remember reading an interview with, like, when all the Friends people started getting really famous, and I think maybe it was Jennifer Aniston was like, one of them started to develop phobia of flying and all these things that were associated with it because they were like, it's all going to go away, you know? And that's, you have to be careful not to spend so much time worrying about the what if questions are usually the worst questions you can ask yourself, because you rarely ever say, what if I totally succeed? It's usually every bad scenario. So when you catch yourself asking a what if question, just don't. Just,
but what if Batman and Superman were in the same movie and it was two parts?
What? So yeah, I think we all have it. I find that my brain tries to get in the way of a lot of things, and it says, like, you don't deserve this, or someone's going to find out that you suck at this. And I think in the end, you just kind of go, yeah, that's fine. And you just sort of, like, push it off to the side and do what you're going to do anyway. You don't have to listen to what your brain says. You can kind of just go, your brain's sort of like a shitty older brother a lot of the time, and you can just go, yeah, but fuck you. And then basically just do what you're going to do. You might as well. Like, if you don't, someone else is going to do it, so why should, you know, there's no reason that you shouldn't. What is it that you want to do?
Cinematography.
And are you doing that now?
Here and there, yeah.
Doing.
Now, are you being humble, or are you...
I mean, yeah, I mean, I've had some...
Oh my
some...
God, you shot Dawn of Justice. I'm so sorry.
I've shot some stuff for Mercedes, and so that's been cool, and I've shot some features and some shorts and stuff like that, but you know, there's
turn around, look at the camera now, go.
Yeah, wave. Hi.
So I mean my goal has always just been to work on stuff that I've enjoyed. You know, I've always thought it'd be amazing to work on stuff that you guys do and stuff like that.
That's why I think it's really important to be specific with what your goals are, because you can accomplish some of the same things with different wording for your brain. So instead of saying, like, you know, how can I not lose this thing I'm doing, or how can I not fail, you know, you could say things like, what can I do to enjoy my job? What can I do to enjoy, like, your brain will answer any question that you ask. So if you ask bad questions, you're going to get bad results, you know? So just keep asking good questions, like, what would it take for me to not be hard on myself? What would it take for me to accept that I, you know, you start asking those questions and you'll start getting the answers. It's good to kind of write that shit down, but it sounds like you're already kind of doing what you want to do. So don't worry.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it, but
if Mercedes has trusted you,
well,
you know,
I mean, if they trust you and John Hamm, come on.
It's kind of like you're John Hamm. Yeah. If you think about it.
I mean, they're German. They can't be that bad.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you so much. And then one last comment from this young lady in the back.
Don't go that far. Okay. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
What is your name?
My name's Hetty.
Hi. Hetty.
Where did that come from?
My name is actually Heather, but my brother couldn't pronounce my name when he was little, so it's Hetty.
Oh, so we're just kowtowing to this little dumb kid.
Okay.
Now you're just Hetty forever.
Yep.
Anyway, Hetty, thanks for coming. What's your question?
Thanks. you guys are super inspiring and awesome, and it's so cool to have been listening for so long and seen you guys grow so much. But I have a question, honestly, for all of you. Were you always really inquisitive about people? Like, do you like asking questions and finding out about people? And or does part of that come from, like, how the fuck did you do it? Can I do that, too?
I think it comes from the fact that I feel like I don't know anything, and I want to try to understand things better, and what better way to try to understand those things than talking to... I mean, it's helpful to talk to really successful people, but I think it's also helpful to talk to people who are...
Nobodies.
Been doing that for 5 years. But I think it's successful. I think it's important to talk to people that that are on your same level to kind of understand how they're processing stuff. I mean, talking to anyone, really... And we're still learning on the podcast, like even just on the Gates podcast, like, oh, you know, I can talk to someone who is a fund manager, something I don't know anything about, and still learn something. So, yeah, I mean, I think being smart enough to know that you don't know everything, then you constantly are pursuing knowledge. Because once you stop asking questions and once you're like, I got it, then you just wither. Like, there's nothing.
Then if you're Lord not, takes you.
Then
the singer.
What is it that you want to do?
I'm a writer and I like to write, but I like asking questions. So that's kind of
To that point of writing and asking questions. Like, my favorite activity in life is to sit and create backstories for people that are around me constantly.
Like
the other
watching?
Night, like, for instance, the other night we were at, Dory and I went to this thing called Beefsteak, and it's just this, like, big event where it's a charity thing. And there was a woman there who was a reporter.
To raise awareness for steak?
It's actually it's a fundraiser for the LA Food Bank.
Oh, great.
So, but you feel bad, huh?
I'm just surprised. You did a nice thing.
I gave her guitars. Yeah. Eat these. I don't know. But there was a woman there who was like kind of, she's like a reporter for...
These are left-handed.
There was a woman there who was a reporter, I think for Variety, I want to say. But she was just talking to, Jerry Duggan was there with us, and she was talking to us, and then she was like, oh, my boyfriend's not here. It's like, oh, where is he? And she's like, oh, he's at this James Bond retrospective. And I was like, what? How do I not know about this? Anyway, blah, blah. So, and she was like really kind of like I, you know, she was like a little, let's say I think she owns some cats. So she walks away, and then I'm like, hang on a second. And I Google the thing, the James Bond retrospective at Cinematheque, and the date comes up for 2012. So then in my head I go, okay, her boyfriend died in 2012, and now whenever anyone asks her where your boyfriend is, he's always at Cinematheque at the James Bond retrospective. And then I painted a whole and I did it in like 4.5 seconds, and I have these, that's just how my brain works.
So instead of being inquisitive, you just project your own thing instead of finding out about anybody else.
Well, I always find that whatever story... This is actually part of why I like I love the Tumblr, the New York... Humans of New York. Yeah. I love that Tumblr, because that guy actually goes and asks, you know, just people with their picture, and like he has like amazing quotes for them, like stories about them, whatever. And I love that, because that sort of does the work for me, where I don't have to make up the fake story about them. But, you know... I find sometimes I don't like talking to people, but I do like letting my brain figure out for me what my interesting story for them is, which makes me, I guess, not inquisitive.
So he's not really answering your question at all, actually. You asked, how do you be inquisitive about other people, and Matt
and
told you two stories about himself.
About myself.
Anyway, I was at this fancy charity dinner. What was your question again? All right, I was with the...
Jonah, how do you feel about it?
I love finding out about people. There was a movie called Mumford that came out in like 98. It's a really funny movie, but like it's about this guy that turns out to he plays a psychologist, and it turns out like it's like he's not really one, but like he always had this knack for people just tell him their shit and their story. And I really like I saw that movie. I was like, oh wow, I kind of really connect with that character because I'm a big fan of, you know, the world is full of very many shitty people, but part of the fun of living life is to kind of weed through all that stuff and find awesome people wherever you go. And you can find people that you would never think you have anything in common with and then find, you know, people that you can always find something to connect with somebody with. And it's that's like part of the beauty of living life.
I've taken my birth. American Cold.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, I was at this fancy dinner.
No, you weren't.
I was at a bar talking to a stranger. Turns out they're real nice. They're from Arizona.
I don't know if we actually answered your question. I think it's the same way that I was talking to Matt. Is that your name? The same way we were talking to Matt, the audience, Matt. The same way that you can be inquisitive with other people, you can be inquisitive with yourself at the same time. Yeah, it's just asking good questions and trying to learn what other people... Because I'm just trying to learn. I want to do better. I want to be a better person. I want to be better at everything. And so the only way you do that is ask questions.
Part of the question was, have you always felt like that?
I don't know. You know, I think when I was younger, I probably was more... The podcast has really opened me up. I think I was definitely more self-centered when I was younger. I just, I don't know, I was young and stupid, and I thought I knew everything. And then...
you had that voice.
I did talk weird on Singled Out for some reason.
You fucking did the shh with your eshers.
I turned.
We got 50 shingle women. I'm like, shingles?
Yep. 50 shingled. But I don't think I was always like that. I think, honestly, the podcast, that's one of the skills that I developed was... I mean, I hate to say it, but actually, like, talking and learning and being interested in other people. I mean, like, it was, I think, you know, I just was so focused on my own thing before, and this made me realize, like, oh, yeah, I'm not the center of anything, and everyone's smarter than I am, and I must learn from them, so.
Unless you're number one on the call sheet, bro.
Yo.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Sam.
Body. Well, are you writing something right now? What are you writing?
I used to write some high school plays. Actually, can you hand me my purse?
Oh, she's got a sample.
No. I'm. I don't want to do this on mic. It's super embarrassing. But I actually wrote an adaptation of Night of the Living Dead, and I named
another
character after Jonah, and they
brought
you that.
Oh. You had me at Night of the Living Dead. And then to find out that I'm involved. I'm as excited as Matt talking about himself. That's awesome.
Can anyone see your plays?
No.
I can.
If you have a time machine or if you're Jonah.
You were played by Keith Allstorm.
Who? Keith Awesome? Yeah, sounds about right.
School play, so just fair warning.
No, I'm sure. I'm really excited to watch this. This
no,
is
no,
really
no.
Awesome.
You don't have to watch it.
Why'd you give it to
How
him?
How about
then?
I do when I tell you I didn't?
She okay. Seems to really be coming around to my side on this thing.
This is cool.
Once you start down the dark side path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
Power. It's so perfect for a play because it all happens in the same. That's great. Has this been done before, or are you the first one to?
I have no idea. My friend used to be a high school drama teacher, and we love horror and zombie flicks and stuff. And actually, we wrote like a indie movie and stuff like that. So we were like, we really want to do a zombie flick, but couldn't really find one.
So you made it as a play?
Yeah, we tried right. to do Night of the Living Dead, and actually the storyline that your character is in a I'm not if this is legal, I have no idea.
No, no one has the rights to Night of the Living Dead,
okay,
so you can do whatever you want.
Sure, we just like took it.
No, you're allowed. Anyone's allowed to do a public screening of that movie, and they don't. They lost the rights.
It's in the public domain.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so
I wasn't sure.
So start selling this. I said to myself.
So you did.
So there's the house storyline that takes place in the house, which is the movie, and then we added a B storyline, which is the newsroom, what all the news reports that they're watching.
Oh.
And so it goes back and forth between the two and the two different stories going on.
Can I ask you a question?
2012, yes.
Do you want to put it up here?
Is it okay if I cry?
Well, we're very booked, but I was just curious if you wanted to. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, if you, I mean, it sounds like an awesome idea. If you want to put it up here, Hannah's our theater director. I'll just introduce you. You can put it up here for a night if you guys want to give it a shot. You could totally do that.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, I think that's great.
All the things.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Great. Yeah, you should absolutely do that because it sounds like a really awesome idea, and that's easy.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Dreams to come true.
Now you see me out in the alley, I'm giving her $100 like, good job, you made me look really good out there.
Thanks, that will still make me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, Hannah, just make sure Hannah, yeah, okay, that's Hannah right there with the glasses right there. Just talk to her and yeah, you can put it up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, awesome. Sure, thanks.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Stan Lee made a cameo on the podcast?
Meeting me for the first time is an experience that I relish. I can only imagine how amazing it is to be you talking to me in this moment.
Can we do one more? You wanted to ask a question earlier, and you're right up front, and you're a good dude.
Hello.
Hey.
I feel like I don't have a stand because you guys are right.
No, you're right. You're right.
You sure he's a good dude? What if he's like, how would you guys commit a hate crime?
No!
See, well, I told you, Chris.
Cut the mic,
I'm Doug, and this is really inspiring. Like, 5 years, it's really awesome. And I had wanted to start a podcast for a really long time, and I talked to my friends about it, and then they were like, yeah, okay, our conversations are kind of cool, kind of funny, like, just buds hanging around and palling around, and then they were like just really inconsistent, and I was like, all right, fuck you guys, I'm just gonna start one on my own. And I started one last January, and it's been a year. It's been solid, and like, thank you.
What's the name of your podcast?
Serial.
It's called You and Me and Thoughts and Talk with Doug Culp.
What if he was like, I'm the real murderer?
You and me and Thoughts and Talk
with Doug Culp. Yeah. And it's 55 episodes. C-U-L-P.
Great.
Are you related to Robert Culp?
Maybe. Somewhere down the line, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, find out. We'll wait.
You know, Ancestry.com is one of the leading providers in all sorts of bullshit.
Ancestry. Hashtag WTF.
But yeah, so thank you.
Like, did you make anything with my name in it? Or?
No.
Yeah, I wrote a couple songs.
Does your podcast need a website? Maybe you go to Squarespace. And, or if you're looking for an email server, I hear MailChimp's great.
MailChimp.
And if you want to do that comfortably, MeUndies.com has the most comfortable... underwear.
Well, you know what? I don't like picking out clothes, so Bonobos is really great for me.
Congratulations on your year, Doug.
Thank you. Consistency every week.
Yep. And have you watched the show grow in that time?
I think so.
Okay, well, there's ways that you can find that out.
Yeah, I don't have Libsyn. I have like just through like GoDaddy.
Can't help you, bro.
Yeah.
Well, that's
interesting. So I think I have listeners.
You'll probably have a few more after this.
Yeah. Have you ever like gotten an email from someone?
I've just pointed
at a camera.
I did.
So you say I have listeners, and then stare down the barrel of a camera.
Way to go, Zach Morris. Yep.
Time out.
What? Do you want to take a call on your big phone?
So, okay, so I will, thank you very much, Doug. Yeah. Congratulations. And so just as we're sort of wrapping it out, something that I want to start doing is we've created an email, events@nerdist.com, because in the intros, you know, basically the intros keep the podcast free. That's where the sponsorships are. It's where we kind of promote our own stuff. And I kind of realized, like, well, why just promote our stuff? So we set up an email called events@nerdist.com. So if you have stuff that you guys want to promote, doesn't matter what it is, live show, or if you think there's a cool, like, oh, there's a cool convention in my town, or a book I wrote, or an ebook I wrote, just email your stuff to events@nerdist.com, and we'll pick a few in the intros, you know, on some of the episodes, and just promote stuff and go, hey, you know, this sounded cool for this person. Of course, legally, we cannot guarantee the veracity or quality of anything. So don't be like, you sent me this thing and I got murdered.
Ghost email.
You sent me to the James Bond retrospective at the cinema.
There hasn't been a retrospective for James Bond in years.
So yeah.
So, what if some of our actual like or some of our paid wonderful sponsors like Audible or like Stamps was like, well, fuck this. Events at Nerdist.com. I know a really great event. It's called Bonobos.
I am a humble internet stamp maker. I am a philatelist, if you will.
I am a chimp who's gained the ability to read mail.
A chimp.
Yeah, so events at Nerdist.com. And anyway, I want to thank you guys for coming out here for this special five-year anniversary. And it's going to go up Friday. It'll go up right away. And again, thank you so much for... We couldn't do any of the things we do. If you guys didn't listen to the podcast, we wouldn't be able to say, hey, Tom Cruise, you come on a podcast, you know? And so,
that was, again, me doing you.
Yeah.
He likes movies, that Tom Cruise.
He sure does. Which ones? I don't know. All of them.
Don't talk about my friend like that. We've never spoken since the podcast. But truly, thank you guys for allowing us to make this podcast. It's... As I said in the beginning, it's meant the world to us to be able to do this. It means the world that you know stuff about our lives and that you give a shit.
Sometimes you know too much about our lives.
Because sometimes Matt says too much.
Weird websites that fucking document my breakups. Google it. It's not fun.
Because you talked about it for 2 hours on You Made It Weird.
I made it real weird for me.
Thank you for coming out to Nerdist Podcast, everyone. We should all do this together. We should all do this together. One, two, three. Enjoy your burrito. The end.
Thank you, Chris Hardwick.
Thank you, Jonah Ray. Thank you, Matt Meyer, Katie. Thank you to Kyle. Thank you to Zach and Hannah and everyone in the theater and you guys for coming out. Good night, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
What came first? The chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. At Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first. Because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8-plus acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy Egg.